welcome to the Badger Politic. I'm Scott Stearns.
Good evening, Paul Sickle here.
Hey, Paul. Been a little while. How you been?
Hunkering down, social distancing, quarantine, all of those good things.
Good, good.
Keeping away from friends and foe alike. So what else is new?
We have
new administration.
When we posted the last podcast, it was, you know, literally days into the Biden administration.
But we talked before the Biden administration happened.
Yeah.
I believe. We talked while it was still Trump.
It was literally underway.
So we were still even just a little nervous that the QAnon thing would happen and the mass arrests would occur. But the secret's still in. They still haven't busted the Democrats yet.
So and
I shouldn't joke. They're pretty serious about it. But anyway.
The thing of it is that, yes, we have a, you know, a White House.
I have been watching a fair amount of QAnon documentaries, by the way.
See, I've been trying to take that in stride and not.
It's really interesting.
It is. I guess it is. But I mean, here's the thing. You've seen one conspiracy, you've kind of seen them all.
What's interesting, though, is this one has like a lot of appeal to women, and it like has more political power
because kids.
A lot of political, a lot of conspiracies aren't even that political, actually. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. So,
yeah.
A lot of conspiracies are more like urban myths.
The aim is political, but the appeal is not.
My point is that politically, if you get a lot of women, and it's not just a bunch of crazy old dudes, you've got something going. Like the whole, the kids are at risk kind of thing. And they, I mean, there's a serious concern about human trafficking in the world. And so they tapped into that, which is pretty brilliant. I mean, you were crediting Roger Stone with it, probably. I think you're right. I think we're almost certainly Roger Stone.
In terms of the DC riots, yes.
I think QAnon in general, I think Roger Stone has a lot to do with it.
Well, I think with the riots, I think Roger Stone is a bridge between Trump and the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and whatnot.
I don't see that much daylight between QAnon and the riots.
There is a Venn diagram that
very strong Venn diagram. Yes.
So we have had success, obviously, in the goal of tossing Trump out of the White House.
Despite what felt like a very modest election night, turned out to be pretty good.
Absolutely.
Trump's gone.
Not even close.
The Democrats have a trifecta.
They're pretending like it was close. It wasn't. I mean, they're going to continue that myth, it's going to achieve a pinnacle level of discourse tomorrow when Trump speaks at CPAC. So
yeah, you're right. It was close-ish.
If some swing states had gone the other way, then the electoral vote could have been closer. But
the election of
a million plus votes in the popular vote.
Popular vote, it was close. It was less close than Obama's reelection. It was less close than any of the Bush elections. In every sense, actually, popular vote and electoral college, it was a bigger win than anything Bush had won. In terms of raw percentage of the vote, it was one of only a few times this century where the winning candidate eclipsed 50%. Even Bill Clinton, according to the last century, did not eclipse 50%, although the Republicans didn't either. But Carter was closer. Nixon's first election was closer. Nixon's loss to Kennedy was closer. I mean, so on and so forth. There's a lot of close elections.
So,
and this was not that close.
So Biden is in the White House, and obviously they managed to take the Senate because of the Georgia seats. You know, thanks to Trump being a fucking moron and making that election all about him, they completely screwed the Republicans, and they will not. They will not cut the umbilical cord at this point, which is to their own demise. And so they screwed themselves in Georgia, and now Mitch McConnell is the minority leader. So they
take a deep breath. Isn't it nice?
They
control. I know you're going to say however, but go ahead and say however. That's fine. I
totally appreciate where we're at. How do we not only maintain that level of success, but how do we maybe build on it?
Here's the thing. Our margins in the Congress aren't great, but
no, they actually got reduced in the House.
Except almost all of our members are progressives.
Mm-hmm.
In the Senate, all but two are actually reasonably progressive.
Right.
I mean, I should, I guess you could say
you have levels.
12.
You have levels. I mean, you have Kirsten
Sinema. Hickenlooper.
Sinema in Arizona, and then you have Joe Manchin, obviously, in West Virginia.
Well, those are the two problems.
You have your John Testers, you know, from Montana. He's fairly progressive, but progressive in Montana is not the same as progressive in New York or California, yeah. Obviously.
He's decent for Montana.
He was up in 18, and Trump tried to sink him, and he got reelected,
right,
to his credit. Same with Manchin. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And even Manchin, I mean, I'm not wild about a lot of his politics.
No,
I think it's appropriate.
Democratic voters need to understand that there are limits to where Manchin's going to go, and they need to be okay with that, because it's better to have Manchin than some fucking QAnon.
He took a vote to preserve the Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
He preserved Obamacare, absolutely, even though it was West Virginia.
Exactly.
Now, granted, his people needed it, but I mean, come on, it's West Virginia.
It's not Robert Byrd country anymore.
I do get a little nervous about Manchin maybe party switching.
No, I think he'd get pushed out in the primary, to be honest. He was governor of West Virginia, and he was very popular, and then he ran for Senate. He's a very popular politician in West Virginia. He maintains a decent level of support amongst people that don't consider themselves Democrats.
And I think he likes the idea of being where the power is while still having a huge check. So a lot of this is about setting the stage for 2022.
Yeah.
Right. Part of the reason that's so important, I think, is because you're seeing all the evidence at CPAC. And one of the things that will set the tone will be this COVID recovery bill.
The American Rescue Plan is really mission critical. The House passed it yesterday, early Saturday morning.
Disappointing that no Republicans joined.
Even no Republicans. I think two Democrats opposed it for...
Yeah, who were they?
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Okay.
It's funny that no Republicans in the House voted for it, because in the lame duck, when they were dealing with stimulus, and they ultimately ended up passing a bill that contained $600 for Americans making under...
Right. Trump was right.
He's like, we should be giving $2,000. He came out for the Democrats' perspective.
Well, Trump was doing the old broken clock routine.
Yep.
Where, yep. You know, you got to be right twice a day.
Exactly. So the fact that this party that is so married to Trump could not find the courage to vote for this bill, yet they will go and kiss his freaking ring tomorrow at CPAC. It's just, there's a dichotomy there that is just ridiculous. So anyway, the Democrats just need to plow ahead. You're talking huge amounts of money for Americans in terms of direct payments, for school to reopen, and benefits for small businesses.
On state and local aid, which is what's going to keep the doors open. Also, so locals don't have to raise their property taxes through the roof.
Now, the biggest hang up this past week on this bill has been whether or not you can tie a minimum wage increase to the bill. Now, the Senate parliamentarian has ruled that no, you can't, because they want to pass this thing through budget reconciliation, meaning it only requires 51 votes, is not subject to the filibuster. And it appears that the Democrats are willing to go along with that ruling, or not willing to overrule the parliamentarian. Now, as much as I disagree with that, I'm not willing to die on that hill to say that if the minimum wage is not part of this bill, that we should just sink it. I think you need to pass what you can.
Yeah, me neither. I'm a big 15 or two. Don't get me wrong.
Continue to fight for the minimum wage, or try to attach the minimum wage to other popular legislation. So
I think this is why, though, I want state and local aid, is that I think that that's the stuff that's less likely to pass.
Yeah.
It's the easiest for the Republicans to pan that stuff. If that doesn't pass, I think you're going to be in a world of hurt. Frankly, I think the Republicans know it, and they don't want it to pass because it'll help them defeat Tony Evers and other Democratic governors in large states.
If you don't pass this bill, it will play into the narrative that, like, oh, see, y'all elected Democrats and government's not helping you and government's failing you, and where's your COVID relief? Didn't happen. Fuck government.
Well, but what I'm a little concerned about is that somehow or another they could get the state and local aid taken out of it. I don't think that will happen because I think that losing the minimum wage actually helps.
It'll help
in the sense that
it'll make the path easier for it.
Right. I think what it does is it shows that we've already lost something, so there isn't a need for more concessions. Hopefully,
there's already been a sacrifice.
Right. Whereas I think had we done it without 15, then had we just done the packages without 15, I actually think that that would make it an easier target for the state and local aid.
Yeah,
I keep stressing that because I really do think that's how you keep your libraries open.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you keep your schools from going to seed. You know, if you pass state and local aid, you're doing a lot to actually really benefit the economy in a way that, frankly, actually, that's what the AA under Obama that they did the first term. That was a large part of that bill. And had they not done it, things would have been so much worse.
Actually. Oh, for sure. The other thing I wanted to mention going into 2022 is we have a senator that will be up for re-election next year.
Yep.
His name is Ron Johnson.
Yeah, he thinks Nancy Pelosi started the riots like that.
He has tied himself to the extreme right in terms of conspiracy theories and just ridiculousness. Now, I believe he initially had promised to run only for 2 terms. And then step down. He has not officially announced what his plans are to date. So maybe the best face he put on this is like he's going all crazy because he knows he's not going to run, or he's going all crazy because he thinks that he will get like.
Why would he do that though? Money. Unless he really believed all of this baloney.
That's the $1 million question. Here's the thing about the U.S. Senate. I mean, even more so than the House. All these fucking assholes that don't have the courage. Like Mitch McConnell can give a speech saying like how bad a guy Trump is for the events of January 6th. But when push comes to shove, he's nowhere to be found because you're scared of either your constituents or you're not willing to express true leadership, whatever it is. I mean, these guys are cowards. They're part of basically a cult of personality that is the modern Republican Party. And nobody in that party is willing to stand up and say the direction that this thing is heading is wrong. Outside of your Liz Cheney's and your Mitt Romney's. I mean, there are some exceptions. Your Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah, but even she wouldn't vote for what's obviously a necessary bill.
Right. But to give them credit, I mean, they put themselves out there, I guess I would say.
Yeah. So. I mean, her politics also aren't in line with that.
I mean, she believes states should fail. She's not progressive. I mean, she's
dictating. No, she's not at all. She's actually
She's
really not great.
It's just that folks like that, they just believe that like we shouldn't be tied to fucking conspiracy theories and QAnon and craziness. They just want a sense of normalcy, like the olden timey days where we just debated conservative versus liberal and then, you know, the votes fell where they may and then you went about your business.
Well, we're a long way from that. Hopefully, we're on our way toward recovery from the virus and economic recovery thanks to Biden's leadership.
Well, that's
we got to pass this guy.
We got to pass this thing, and Ron Johnson's going to vote against it, and hopefully we can hammer him next year and get him defeated. They're already
voting against this.
Lining up against him, so it's good.
Voting against this will hurt politically. I think that
it should.
They've made that very clear. If you haven't noticed, you know, there's been a lot of push on it. But I also think that the Trump thing, so tomorrow we're on the eve of CPAC, Trump's first speech since the last time we met on an inauguration day when he said, I hope they don't raise your taxes.
Right.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
And he has 17 flags, which is the QAnon favorite number. But anyway.
Did you see the shape of the CPAC stage?
No.
It's in the shape of a Nazi symbol.
Oh, boy.
I'll send you this image once we're done podcasting. But
okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I want to believe that's a conspiracy. Okay.
Oh, this boy. Is fucking crazy. So.
Well, that's amazing.
I'm saying this right now, actually.
That's awful. Hopefully people hold this against the Republicans when they vote.
Well, that's all you can hope for.
So often we've been disappointed.
Yes. But
the one time we weren't was really in Georgia. And I guess you could say this fall, although even then, Trump had a lot of baggage and he still got 47% or 46% or whatever. You know, it is pretty incredible.
Georgia is part of the lesson in terms of aggressiveness, how much you should go on offense, because they were reeling at that stage. They were pretending that they weren't. I mean, Ossoff and Warnock, they won. Yeah, it wasn't a landslide, but it wasn't like it was a couple hundred votes.
No, and they came from behind, both of them.
They did.
The Republicans were the favorite. The
reaction against the craziness that was Trump.
Absolutely, it was.
So the Democrats need to capitalize on that and try to carve out a niche about, like, good government.
I think for the next time we talk, I'd love to bring it back a little to the state issues. We have a state DPI race. I'd like to see if...
Yep.
Your thoughts on whether or not this can actually redound to the state races, to the governor's race, to the DPI race, to the legislative and congressional races. Can this be a driving factor that Trump is still there, or that the CPAC and all this nuttiness?
Yeah.
Can people hold this against Republicans still? Or are we just not able to make the connection?
That is to be determined.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen it, especially once their president is out of power. We have actually seen benefits for Democrats when there's a Republican president, especially Trump, at the state and local level. I mean, look at the state Supreme Court. We won 2 out of 3 races, and we won the DPI race with Evers. We won the governor race with Evers. Yeah. We've done very well at the state level anyway. Under Trump. The question is, now that Trump's gone, right, but the CPAC stuff is still going on, will voters make the connection? I said Republican voters will, unfortunately, or at least the Trump base, and that Trump base can be pretty big. The question is whether other voters will make the connection.
Well, I think you can use the nuttiness of the right wing right now to your own advantage.
I mean, but can you do it when Trump isn't president? That's the question.
Yes, it's actually easier to do when Trump's not president, because he doesn't have the megaphone. He doesn't have the ability to push back as easily. You can say, like, here's the syllabus in terms of what...
You can show the picture of the big golden Trump.
Yeah.
Or Brandon's Trump or whatever this
transpose
is.
Transpose them. Yeah, you can back. Be like, here's what we're going to do, and here's what we've actually done, you know, a few months from now. And on the other side, here's the idolatry of Trump. And
now, I get that he doesn't have the bully pulpit, but didn't the bully pulpit work, though, to help us?
I think Twitter helped a lot in terms of helping them.
Didn't it work in reverse? I mean, didn't it?
Well, it basically fired up everybody.
Yeah.
We had the largest voter turnout in how many years?
You know? Right. I'm concerned that some of those people who were motivated to vote because they couldn't stand Trump, but typically don't vote or don't vote Democratic, won't be there again.
Well, that's the biggest concern with the midterms, right? That's why Kevin McCarthy right now is expressing confidence that the Republicans, between probably the drop-off in midterm voting and gerrymandering, and voter suppression, because voter suppression laws are now happening all over the place, you know, getting rid of same day voter registration and absentee balloting and all this stuff.
I don't think any of them are going to pass, though. Not this time.
But there are efforts all around the country to do this, and they are not going to stop, because they understand that they don't win through expansion of voting. They only win repression of voting.
Well, the only place it'll pass is Georgia, but it's not going to pass here.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have the governor sign it. It won't stop them
from trying.
Well, and also if they took the governorship, because people don't pay attention.
That's the trick.
Right. Yeah. And then they would have it ahead of the presidential election.
Exactly. So
people better vote. If nothing else, Tony Evers stops a lot of bad ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and well, I think the other thing is, what you'll see, a lot of federal things that are beneficial coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. And as long as Tony Evers is there, those things can go into force here in Wisconsin.
Right.
But once you have another Scott Walker or any Republican governor with a Republican legislature, they'll just overturn everything that they can. I mean, they can't overturn everything, but they'll do their best to overturn
Yeah.
Just like Walker refused to cooperate with Obamacare, for instance. You know, cost this state so much. Yeah. Right. Or the train cost this how many jobs in Milwaukee right away. And,
all right, well, listeners. Well, more to come.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Yes. Next podcast, I'm going to be pushing my high-speed rail again.
I love
this time I want those tubes, those Elon Musk tubes, whatever.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Forward.